are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we know really in our mythological DNA and our bones that Christmas and winter solstice is intrinsically entheogenic. We know, many of us know, the Amanita mushroom story of Christmas as an Amanita mushroom festival. The shaman dresses as the sacrament, red and white. Amanita mushrooms grow under fir trees. Reindeer like to eat them. One drinks their pee that filters out the alkaloids. The experiences of flying, and they go to the North Pole and bring wisdom down to every heart, or variations thereon. And as we drive around, you know, to compost our harumphitude at the commercialization and all, the little shimmering lights, we want this magic kinship. We do. It is a beautiful day right now, and our guest is perfect for it. We are diving for winter solstice. The sun is in Sagittarius, which is the realm of science and research and questing, and it's got an exact 72-degree angle right now, beautiful, called a quintile of irresistible eloquence, to Neptune, which is the intelligence of dreams, vision, spirit world, to blend again science, knowledge, research with empathic kinship. So, more than perfectly, we are hosting our ally, Dr. Rick Strassman, author of DMT and the Soul of Prophecy, which we'll be offering as a premium today, as well as his crucial research chronicled in DMT, the Spirit Molecule. And just even from the excellent blurb on the back of his book that we are again offering, DMT and the Soul of Prophecy, so intriguing. Decades of clinical psychiatric research and Buddhist practice, Strassman began searching for a more resonant spiritual model. And he found that the visions of the Hebrew prophets, such as Ezekiel, Moses, Adam, and Daniel, were strikingly similar to those of his volunteers in his DMT studies. Examining medieval commentaries on the Hebrew Bible, Strassman reveals how Jewish metaphysics provides a top-down model for both the prophetic and DMT states, a model he calls theoneurology. Theoneurology bridges biology and spirituality by proposing that the divine communicates with us using our brain, and DMT, whether naturally produced or ingested, is a critical factor in visionary experience. This model provides a counterpoint to neurotheology, which proposes that altered brain function simply generates the impression. Okay, so, and more excellent things. But I'm so glad to be engaged in a positive dynamic with the prophetic aspects of the Hebrew Bible, because I can get grumpy about it. But I do love Isaiah, who says, "Speak to the weary a word that will rouse them." So welcome, Rick Strassman.
Well, thanks, Caroline. Thanks for having me on your show today. It's a very good time of year, I agree.
It is. And do you love Isaiah saying, "Speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them"?
Well, I mean, I love Isaiah at a number of levels. You know, if you look at his initiatory visionary experience described early on in his book, it's a very psychedelic description. And it's a good point that you're making, is it isn't only the visions of the prophets, it is also the message that they convey once they return from their visionary experiences. And there's a lot of inspiration, there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of calls for salvation and repentance in Isaiah, which ring throughout history. People have been reading Isaiah and inspired by him for 2,500 years, at least.
Well, I think this is so crucial now as we feel our way around the world and its crisis of uninitiated Mars, humans, the worst aspect having lost kinship. And in a sense right now, this diving for the winter solstice, you know, is like, how do we go back to the originating impulse, you know, behind all everything, poetry, organized religion, you know, and find the original liberating inspiration and offer ourselves to that. And that's really what you're doing here. And when we were just backstage, I said, you know, in Journeying, which I love, I am an entheogenic enthusiast, and a wonderful, wise friend of mine, who's just doing this for the first time and loving it, but said I had to overcome my Puritan self, she's a Jungian analyst, to feel like that, you know, we shouldn't need anything outside of ourselves. Do you want to address this interesting issue? We'll get into disciplines and Zen Buddhism and the discipline thing and what kind of makes DMT available to us in our minds. But do you want to address that conversation?
Yeah, I think it raises at least two important issues. One of them is the specific idea of the endogenous nature of DMT is made in the human body. You know, so you can ingest it from the outside. Let's say you smoke the free base or you take it in ayahuasca, in which case it's orally active, or it's increased spontaneously, in which case the amount of DMT in the brain and changing the configuration of all the neurochemistry is exactly the same. It's like synthetic vitamin C versus the vitamin C in an orange. It's, you know, pretty much the same exact compound.
Oh, some people might hop up and down on that one. Is synthetic vitamin C the same? Is synthetic DMT the same as that found in ayahuasca brews?
Yes. Okay. You know, ascorbic acid is the molecule that people call vitamin C. And ascorbic acid, you can make ascorbic acid, or you can intake ascorbic acid from, you know, citrus fruits. And, you know, from the strictly, you know, chemical, you know, point of view, DMT is DMT. If it's, you know, found in plants, or if it's made in the laboratory, you know, the molecular structure is the same. You know, you could discuss things which are, you know, found with DMT or are, you know, found with ascorbic acid in the plant kingdom, which might tweak and, you know, modify the effects of the pure compound in isolation. But, you know, when you're discussing, you know, just the simple compound, it's, you know, the same either in the natural world or made in the laboratory. You know, so the other, you know, issue which your friend brings up, I think touches upon the notions of, you know, set and setting. And, you know, set is your state of mind and your health and your expectations, your previous experience, your intent when you undergo an entheogenic or a, you know, psychedelic experience. So that is to be contrasted with a setting, which can be described as the set of everyone around you, as the, you know, physical environment in which the experience takes place. You know, so when, you know, people talk about, you know, can't you reach these states in meditation? You know, why do you need drugs? Or, you know, can't you attain these experiences through prayer? You know, why do you need to take ayahuasca? If you look upon, or if you think about, you know, DMT is DMT, and the levels in the brain are the same, you know, whether they occur spontaneously or through the administration of an outside agent. It's your, you know, set and your setting. You know, what do you make of the experience? What do you think about it? You know, how do you extract any valuable, you know, material to communicate with people after you've returned to the normal state? You know, what's the information, you know, what's it good for? And, You know, I've spoken to a Buddhist monk that I knew for a long time who, you know, told me that her brother experienced full and total enlightenment through LSD. He never meditated a day in his life. You know, so that I think bespeaks the notion, you know, that it's, you know, not purely the chemistry of what's going on in your mind, you know, whether it's naturally induced or is occasioned from an outside agent, but, you know, what you do with it and how you understand it, interpret it, and integrate it.
Yes, and just to skip back for a second and then come back right on these points, it's intriguing because talking to a lot of entheogenic beings, conveners, they are starting to manufacture in labs some of these interesting plants like canna from South Africa, a succulent that is a kind of MMDA heart-opening thing. But they say, well, since it's popular, you know, we don't want to wipe out the plant, so we're making it in the lab. And you think that's perfectly equivalent?
Well, the pure compound would be equivalent. You know, for example, cathinone in cot. You know, there's cathinone in cot, and there's cathinone which is made in the laboratory.
Wait, what is it?
It's a compound called cathinone. Okay. Well, you know, cot is kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Yemenite cocaine.
Right. Or very mild.
It is very mild. Well, you know, so is chewing coca leaves, too, but once you extract the pure compound.
Right. So it's more like the Yemenite coca leaves, right, than the cocaine.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, so with canna, you know, there are probably a number of active compounds, but if there's one, you know, major one, you know, it would be structurally similar to what would be found in the plant.
Yeah, and then I guess Dr. Andrew Weil has written blurbs for you, and I grew up with him. I was a teenager who got to hang out in his soiree, really. And he got paid to go around the world taking drugs. He did emerge by saying, well, there's no drug-free cultures, but there are cultures with no problems. And the cultures with no problems have a kind of initiatory dynamic. You know, here's your caffeine drink, only in the morning, and so on. But also he said, you know, like the coca leaf, good cocaine, no. When you extract things into a little white powder, you're taking them out of their alkaloid community, so they will only take you out of your community. So I've always kind of loved that. And then when we get back to the synthesized sacraments, are we taking them out of their community?
Well, I think so. You know, if you talk about, or if you give like an ayahuasca pure DMT to smoke, you know, they'll say, well, you know, that's kind of like ayahuasca, but, you know, there just are no complementary notes, and you can't really do that much with it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the Western mind is interested in white powders and smoking them or infusing them, injecting them, as opposed to the slower oral route. And, you know, there is a lot to be said for pure DMT. I mean, look at the material produced by Terence McKenna over those decades of smoking and talking about pure DMT.
Right. No, absolutely, sign me up. But I hung out with Terence at Botanical Preservation Corps retreat in Mexico. And it was then, again, what I told you backstage, we're coming to the reality of the spirit world. My great late friend, Dr. Wu, had epilepsy, and he was very interested in these diseases of the pineal gland and light. And after he started having these mild seizures, he said he was visited often by these 6-foot-tall praying mantises. And people thought he was crazy. But spooky things did happen, and there was a whole cosmology. They were from a warlike planet, and I mentioned that to Terence in the jungle, and Terence said, oh yeah, old Shovelhead, we run into him a lot. So, you know, so he said, you know, the astral plane is full of these beings. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever met old Shovelhead?
Well, you know, a number of the people in my DMT study encountered insect-like beings.
Oh.
You know, bees. There were bees. There were, trying to think, there were big ants that ate somebody's heart while he was going down into the DMT trance.
Really?
You know, so there do, you know, seem to be insect-like, you know, figures that at least, or at least, you know, specific energies or specific forces or specific processes that, you know, take on that garb, you know, that the imagination overlays with things that are immaterial, at least according to our current, you know, scientific, you know, paradigm.
Now, your subjects, and you're completely legal. You had to dance through so many hoops with the government, but your completely legal studies in the 90s, so interesting in so many things that, but they encountered beings that you refer to, and this idea that they're, you know, cooperators really are standing by. Cooperators are standing by that the spirit world wants to speak to us as much as we yearn to speak with them. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, that was, I think one of the most sort of startling aspects that resulted from my research. And it's kind of ironic, you know, because before I started my study, I interviewed about 20 DMT smokers, you know, including Terrence. And I was interested in speaking to, you know, to these folks because I, you know, wanted, you know, some kind of, you know, preview as to what I would be encountering once I actually began giving DMT to my volunteers. And, you know, I would say almost every one of those 20 people described encountering beings. But still, I, you know, kind of, you know, went in, you know, to my study, I think kind of unconsciously not expecting beings. I was more expecting near-death states. I was expecting of the white light of Buddhist enlightenment. I was expecting, you know, people, you know, to be absorbed into the ground of all being. You know, but surprise, surprise, you know, at least 3/4 of my volunteers, you know, described, you know, some kind of intelligence and, you know, some kind of sentience, in the DMT state. And at least half of them, you know, pointed to specific identifiable objects within that, you know, DMT world, you know, that were communicating, interacting with them, imparting information, you know, doing good, even, you know, causing, you know, some pain or distress. You know, so the white light of enlightenment experience may have occurred in one of our, you know, nearly 60 volunteers, but the vast majority, or, you know, the majority anyway, you know, came back, you know, talking about these beings, these entities, these alien-like, you know, creatures.
Well, you know, it's, again, you reference in the study, and then many of us can concur about the vivid geometric patterns, the kind of dazzling, there's a similarity. It's what saved me from teenage nihilism, really. going, oh, you know, sort of Marxist grumpitude and religion is a crutch, and then I go, ooh, patterns, wait, beautiful patterns in, beautiful, why, the patterns are like the most exquisite beauty of Islamic art, within, without, ooh, I set forth on this path, ah. And so the geometric pulsing patterns, which then we see in religious art, is, we're tracking something, something about the essence of divine yearning and what we want to commune with. Certainly we want more of that, you know, and also backstage when I said, you know, some of your subjects, you know, would also experience this kind of whoa, 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 whoa sound, and I go, I know that sound, when I was a Zen student and studying with Leo Pruden at Brown University. I don't know if you know him. He was a great Buddhist scholar, really a great professor. Little shout out to late, great Leo Pruden, but also living at the Zen Center. And then doing kind of extreme things, you know, 1 week, you know, Zen sitting, and then I went out to a Tibetan retreat cabin to go fast and get even more crazy. But in the shrine room of the Tibetan retreat, there was a statue of a Buddha, and it was one of those things where you cross the threshold into the room, and there was this irrefutable wong, 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 and I stepped out, step back in. Wah, wah, wah. And the Tibetan nun who saw me said, yeah, Lama so-and-so really knew what he was doing when he made that art, that Buddha. And she explained to me that most of art is intention invisible intention that he would make the Buddha, put prayers, dedications, semi-precious stones, drawings, you know, into it, and then cover that up, and then same thing, and then cover it up. So what we're seeing is maybe 15% of the art, but what we're feeling is like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then there's your subjects hearing that sound. So what is it, what is that sound, Doctor?
Well, you know, you're talking about religious art, and I think for art to be truly religious, it needs to either replicate or induce, you know, remind one at the most fundamental level, at the experiential level of religious states, of religious experience. It evokes that, it reminds one of it. Well, you know, people ask me sometimes, you know, I'm like, how do you integrate the psychedelic state? And, you know, the answer I've kind of come to over these years is you spend your time, you know, doing things which recreate that state to the extent possible. So,
we might have to call you back. The beings are creating static, or they're so enthusiastic to join us. Let's see, continue your sentence. Let's see if the static's still there.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I live kind of in the bush, and I've got a landline, like I said, but it's been snowing, and there may have been some water on my box and whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sometimes, you know, calling me back can help, or, you know, sometimes just waiting it out.
Well, let's call you back, and I will do a dedicated pitch while you're gone for 1 minute, and our wonderful board up will call you right back.
Okay, great.
Let's do that. Okay. Okay, team, we are calling back Dr. Rick Strassman, but that gives me an opportunity to be responsible pitcher. So this is really part one, because Dr. Rick Strassman there's so much in his research and so much about entheogenic kinship and religious experience to heal our hearts, the heart of our species, that we want to explore. It's completely pertinent. We are offering his great book, not The Spirit Molecule, which is on my sheet, but DMT and the Soul of Prophecy. Completely interesting. I want to do 2-3 shows really on this book for a pledge of $80. And also, just as a companion for a future guest, we're also offering Magic Mushroom Explorer, Psilocybin and the Awakening Earth by Simon Powell. These are useful. We, again, humans heal kinship. When we get Rick Strassman back, we're going to talk also about animals and kinship and the objective reality of the spirit world. So that's for a pledge of $90, Magic Mushroom Explorer. And then also, you know, we're diving for the winter solstice. I'll be doing a live event in Washington tomorrow night. You can find out about that at coyotenetworknews.com. But on Monday night, Trickster Training Council, my cahooting, opens its doors on December 21st for all to attend by phone, web, or Skype. You know, it's our dangerous in a good way. Better a trickster than a martyr cahoot, winter solstice honoring 6 p.m. Pacific time for a pledge of $50. And be sure to give your email address to the phone room team, because we will be in touch with you tomorrow to set you up for that. All of that can be yours by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732, or online, kpfa.org. We are here, of course, dedicated 19-plus years to extending kinship and, again, democratic animism. This is so essential, our great show with Dr. Rick Strassburg, and the book is really useful, DMT and the Soul of Prophecy. Let's go back to see, you know, everybody kind of tripping out and find the originating impulse, you know, and better to create prophecy than live prediction, I always say. So there's that dynamic. Do we have Rick back? Oh, we do have Rick back. Yay. Well, that was perfect because I got to be responsible, and now here you are back.
Yay.
You know, again, feel free to go wherever you want. I know many people. Okay, I'm just throwing this to one side. Microdosing. Okay, one second. But animals. I notice that animals like us when we're journeying entheogenically. They're like, "Hello, now you're no more available," and very strongly. And you'd also mentioned that animals also manufacture DMT is endogenous to them. Rabbits will manufacture DMT in their lungs. Do you want to speak to the DMT-animal connection?
Well, sure. Well, you know, it's also widespread through the plant kingdom, where it was first discovered in the 1940s. And, you know, then it was, you know, determined to be psychedelic about 10 years after that. And maybe 10 years after that, it was discovered in the body fluids and the body tissues of rodents, especially rabbits.
Wow.
And then a couple of years after that, it was, you know, discovered in human blood, urine, spinal fluid. And it's also been, discovered in, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of plants. And also every animal that's been looked at to date. It's interesting. I, you know, like to think of DMT as like spiritual Esperanto.
Yes.
Every organism which contains it is able to communicate by means of the imagination, which is enhanced through the psychedelic state. It is an interesting, phenomena, that animals and even plants and we communicate at a lot deeper, intimate level, when we're in that state.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing to do. And, here you are, a grown-up, a doctor, saying such wise and complex things. I know many teammates, doctors who've gone into entheogenic research, and gone into these wonderful realms. Do the people at Harvard like you okay?
The people at Harvard... which people at Harvard?
Well, I don't know. I'm just playing. I mean, do the grown-up doctors go harumph harumph, or do they go, ooh, what a good, be our guide, what a good direction?
Yeah, it's been a mixed, bag. Like, I started my study in, 1990, and it was the first, new research with these drugs in humans in a generation in over 20 years. So I kind of came out of left field. The junior psychiatrists, my peers didn't really know anything about psychedelics because they had been kind of forgotten, during that time within psychiatric and, medical training. The old timers were kind of bemused. One guy said to me, oh, it's deja vu all over again, when I was, talking about DMT. So I kind of did my study and I got out after 5 years and then mamaybe, 95. Yeah, 10 years later, the first, follow-up, study doing human research came out giving psilocybin. So, by that time I had, been out of the field for 10 years. My study did, open up the door, to, the renaissance in psychedelic research, which is occurring in the U.S. There was a study in Germany 1 year before my DMT study began, and, they were using mescaline. So their group, I think, initiated the research that's been going on in Europe since then as well. There's LSD studies now in the UK and in Switzerland. There's, psilocybin studies sprouting up like mushrooms all around the U.S. There's, probably half a dozen, centers that are giving psilocybin.
Yeah, Johns Hopkins, yeah.
There's, there's some work at Johns Hopkins at NYU, UCLA, UNM in Albuquerque. Yeah, I think if I, attended a scientific meeting nowadays, people would be interested in my work and, what I had to say. But, at the time, I was kind of, doing it under the cover of darkness, as it were. And either people didn't pay much attention or they really weren't aware of, what it is, that I was doing.
No, it's perfect. And as a friend says, the climate is so changing. She's a wonderful, great, sharp kick butt woman in her 80s who's so glad that, again, in California, you can have, access to a cannabis dispensary so that older people, and cannabis is thought of as a Saturn plant or associated with that, it's really good for older people. So older people no longer have to poison themselves with toxic pharmaceuticals, but they can actually go to plants. So that's a kind of huge thing. But guide us back even just in the simple way. DMT is familiar to many in ayahuasca as one of the active ingredients in ayahuasca, but you delineate that the juices in our stomach will inactivate it. That's why it needs to be brewed with other plants that will prevent our body from inactivating it. Yes.
Right. Yeah, you can take ever increasing amounts of pure oral DMT and it won't have any effect.
Right.
That's because of an enzyme in the blood and the liver and the brain, which is called monoamine oxidase. Yeah, and through some, miraculous, case of, serendipity.
Huh.
Or else, the plants, told them.
Right.
The Amazonian, people, discovered if you combine plants that contain DMT with plants that contain an inhibitor of the monoamine oxidase, then you can, come up with an orally active, DMT preparation that instead of lasting for only, 20 minutes, will, last for, 4 or 5 hours.
And those plants are, I'm going to get it wrong, so you better say it. So the plants that are the inhibitor, that are useful brews with the ayahuasca plant vine, are what?
The category or the family of the drugs are the beta carbolines, there's a number of specific ones. There's one called harmine, one called harmaline. So those are the ones which are in the Banisteriopsis plant.
That's it. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, right.
Right, and that's combined with a plant that contains DMT. Regular ayahuasca is just two plants. One's called Chacruna, it contains DMT. One's called Banisteriopsis, and that contains the harmaline and the.
Right. And your buddies with Jeremy Narby, I think, right? Because he blurbed your CD.
Right.
I hosted him years ago when his book, The Cosmic Serpent, DNA, Ayahuasca and the Origins of Consciousness came out. And he said when he went to the Amazon, he asked his guides, how do you know what the plants do?
Right.
And they said, they tell us, you silly British scientist.
Right.
And they said there are two plants that know what all the other plants do, ayahuasca and tobacco, he said, are the library plants. They will tell you what everybody else does. But I love that.
Yeah, if you ask, the natives what they do, they take Banisteriopsis, like every day or, for as long as they want. And, they walk around the forest.
Mm.
And the forest says, this does this and this does that and combine this with this and you'll get this result. So they are library plants. I think that's a good way to put it. I hadn't heard that expression before.
Yeah, and the forest speaks to them. And I've seen, again, incredible art. Somebody was describing a late great friend, Barbara Whitestone, was spending time in an Amazonian village where everyone, and even the kids, were given little bits of ayahuasca brew. And she said, oh, they do incredible art. And I was sort of like, yes, how interesting. And then she showed me it, and I'm like, oh! And it was the living jungle. It was the most fantastic art painted by these 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds going, the spirit coming right through the plants. It was fantastic. And we go, so there are many ways to get there. But then, as you entered into, so you're raised Orthodox Jewish, you say.
Conservative.
I'm sorry, say what?
Well, conservative. Jesus.
Conservative.
Kind of the middle of the road practice. Yeah.
Right, and then you went Buddhist or entheogenic or both together or what?
Well, I was raised as a conservative Jew in the Valley in Los Angeles, where everybody was a Reform or conservative Jew, at least among my peers, and went to college and, learn to meditate, and that's kind of the point at which I began sort of thinking about doing research with psychedelics. I was learning to meditate. I was reading Hindu and Buddhist books, and all my friends were taking psychedelics, and everybody was writing and talking and singing about them. And, the more I compared the descriptions of the two, sets of states, it, seemed like there was a lot of overlap. And so I started speculating that there must be some, common underlying denominator that was activated, either through meditation or through the ingestion of these drugs. So I was, keen on, learning more about meditation, exploring those states in a non-drug way. And, and I then began a long relationship with a Buddhist community, learned to meditate, organized a local meditation group affiliated with a monastery, so on and so forth. You know, for over 20 years. And, you know, then ironically, well, yeah, the, you know, there's a lot of, you know, capers involved with the Buddha story. But in my early 20s, you know, I was up there. All the monks were in their early 20s. They were all, you know, Westerners. And I was interested in, you know, the relationship between psychedelics and meditation. You know, so every time I got one of them alone, I would say, well, have you ever taken LSD?
Uh-huh.
And they said, yeah. And I said, oh, well, and, you know, how important, you know, was your LSD experience to becoming a Buddhist monk? And they all said, you know, I wouldn't be a Buddhist monk if it weren't for my LSD experiences.
Really? Wait, and these people were from where?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it's the best thing to say, but still, you know, it was across the board.
Okay, that'll do.
You know, and, you know, so I was, you know, discussing these, you know, things with the monks as we were all getting older, and, you know, they were encouraging me and, you know, saying, well, I think there's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but once I started doing the research and started writing about it and the monastery became increasingly institutionalized, they kind of said, well, you know, there really is no relationship between psychedelics and Buddhist practice or Buddhist enlightenment or bodhicitta, you know, the first, you know, thought of enlightenment, which is what was, you know, triggered by these LSD experiences in these monks in their 20s. You know, so we kind of parted ways, you know, over, I guess, you know, theory, you know, doctrine, you know, practice. But I think at the same time, it was, you know, time to move on.
Right.
And, you know, time to move back, too, because, you know, the bowing and the iconography and, you know, the paganism, as it were, which is contained in folk Zen or, you know, even, you know, westernized, you know, Zen, the statues and the entities and photographs and all those things. It, you know, began to, you know, kind of, you know, chafe against my Jewish, you know, soul. I was starting to think, well, if I'm going to bow to statues and, you know, bow to people, you know, why not bow, you know, to the highest? So then that started making me think more, you know, I began to, you know, feel the, you know, stirring of the, you know, latent, you know, Judaism, which I, you know, kind of put aside.
Right. And I'm going to reluctantly have to let you go and 2 minutes. But that will be our part two, because I really want to go there. Yes, I also, Zen Buddhist, you know, living at Zen Center, and then going, yeah, but I'm not really somebody who bows 109 times at 5 a.m. in the morning. Although gods love them. You know, go another direction. But when you come back for part two, I do want us to explore the essence really of your book, A New Science of Spiritual Revelation in the Hebrew Bible. To bring the positive medicine of that into the world, and these complex issues, because, you know, when you read Joseph Smith, right, the founder of Mormonism, you go, he's got to have eaten mushrooms, but didn't know that it's an interesting issue of people who entheogenically ingest something and they get to an interesting place, but it might be a delusional place, but they don't know that anybody else has been there, and so they found a religion. Some people think that's what happened to Muhammad. Some people think that's, you know, whatever. And these are big, important, interesting themes that we want to explore and liberate. Liberating everything, you know, back to, you know, what Andy Weil and I would do is saying, well, whether we smoke it or eat it or think it or feel it or whatever, it's a sacrament if it brings us into dynamic kinship and kindness. And it's a toxin if it brings us into alienated ding battery. I mean, I think that's our kind of whatever the thing is there. But so briefly again, before I must be a responsible KPFA pitcher, and I will, and then we will have you back to explore more of these things that we've really just barely touched on. Wonderful, wonderful. But do you want to say anything about, I don't know, religion, Mormonism, Judaism, whatever, having a kind of DMT, either endogenous or not, thing, but the value of not being a crazy savior person?
Well, I think it harkens, you know, back to the notion of the set and the setting. In the text of the Hebrew Bible, they do emphasize the notion of, you know, false prophecy.
Right.
And, you know, that can be a moving target, but, you know, there are some, you know, guidelines to determine whether what, you know, somebody is describing as a religious experience is, you know, good or is it bad? You know, is it useful or is it harmful? I think that boils down to the message. You know, I'm like, is, you know, the message consistent with the golden rule?
Right.
And is, you know, the message, you know, consistent with, you know, one wise, powerful, you know, loving, conscious God? You know, so those are, you know, the two messages that I think are encapsulated in the Hebrew Bible. And if, you know, somebody, at least within, you know, the Western, you know, tradition is, you know, touting something opposite either of those notions, I think you have to be very careful.
Right. These are rich, complex realms. It's good mining that you're doing to lay some standards out. And I want to thank you very much, Dr. Rick Strassman. And we are definitely going to do part two, part three, and so on. Really great. So I will reluctantly release you back to your snowy New Mexico, beautiful, entheogenic Christmas. And we will reconvene at some soon perfect time. Is that good?
Yes, I think that'd be great, Caroline.
Wonderful.
I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Yeah, that's a great pleasure. Okay, there goes our great ally, Dr. Rick Strassman, with many provocative, controversial, all kinds of good things to chew up and wonder about. We are offering his really rich, beautiful book, DMT and the Soul of Prophecy. You know, and again, science discovers there really is a kind of spirit world. Oh, I didn't get to ask him about microdosing. Ah, phooey, next time. Microdosing. As we know, many people are taking micro LSE doses. A lot of computer people, that's how they write code. There's a whole show on that thing, too. But I think my KPFA teammate, Brian Edwards Tiekert, it might be standing by. Are you?
I certainly am, Caroline. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
That's great, because I don't know if we've actually met, but I know you've been a longtime teammate.
I see your purple hair every time it drifts through our lobby, but I may not be as noticeable.
That's very adorable. That's great. Well, let me pitch what we're pitching, and then you chime in and to and fro in a jolly way, because we love our station, and we will announce the craft fair and all. So the book DMT and the Soul of Prophecy by Dr. Rick Strassman, really rich. I am enthusiastically saying yes for a pledge of $80. So it's a thank you gift, and then also Magic Mushroom Explorer. Didn't get to spend a lot of time on it, but Simon Powell will be a future guest, because what a good way to go, for a pledge of $90, and then you can join me live by web or phone or whatever the other thing is, Skype, on Monday night, the actual winter solstice night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, for a pledge of $50, and be sure to give your email to the phone room team, because we will be in touch with you tomorrow, all by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online kpfa.org. Yes, Brian, well, what a luxury. How wonderful to have a co-pitching partner.
It is so amazing to be talking with you on KPFA's airwaves. I mean, you are one of the people who just has, like, a magical presence on the microphone, Caroline. It sometimes, when I have to get things done, I have to be careful not to have the radio on at 2 o'clock on a Thursday because my next hour goes away. I can try to do other things, but I just get kind of frozen there listening to your show.
Wow, and that is so kind of you. That is so fun.
Just such an incredible pleasure. To try to drum up support for your show in these final hours of our fund drive. And folks, if you're out there and you feel the same way that I do about Visionary Activist, we really want to just see our phone lines fill up in the 15 minutes that we have left to make this hour count, because we're down to the wire in the fund drive here. And the number is 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-HEY-KPFA. And we've got two books that we're offering this hour. So the first is the book from Rick Strassman, who we're just hearing from. That's DMT and the Soul of Prophecy. And it's going into his synthesis of his clinical work. He did government-funded trials on DMT.
Well, no, I don't know if they were government-funded. They were government-sanctioned.
Approved and funded for five years at the University of New Mexico.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Yeah.
And as you see, all the bigger thoughts that's led him to about the other traditions, the other forms of knowledge that have accumulated around human experience and how to synthesize them. The other book is The Magic Mushroom Explorer, which is just out this year. Psilocybin and the Awakening Earth by Simon Powell. So, Rick Strassman's book is $80 in paperback. Simon Powell's book, The Magic Mushroom Explorer, is $90 in paperback. The phoner has just told me that the two of them together are available for a discounted pledge rate of $155. And, of course, every one of those dollars is going towards supporting KPFA. The book is just our bonus, our show of appreciation to you. The phone number is 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-HEY-KPFA or online at kpfa.org. Caroline?
That's great. I'm eager for Rick Strassman in future shows, because we have some really great people lined up coming up into 2016. And we will finish out the year with Art Goodtimes. That is his actual name. Wonderful guy on New Year's Eve. So we do have many, many wonderful things lined up. But I'm eager. We like hearing things we don't necessarily agree with. So I've felt quite grumpy about the Old Testament or Yahweh, as Blake calls him, old Nobo Daddy. And I go, all right, but I'm willing to give it another look. And I was in the cave where St. John the Divine, you know, wrote the Apocalypse, which many people think should be just locked away, you know. And he was clearly tripping out on mushrooms. And again, you know, interesting, rich, but we do want this, you know, as Isaiah said, my favorite quote of Isaiah, speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. And that's certainly what the Visionary Activists show aspires to, and our beloved station, KPFA, speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. And so we're exhorting, we're aspiring to rouse you now. Oh, great listeners, some of you have been listening for 19 plus years, and some of you just, you know, last week, what the hell? You know, but it is something, what everybody says is, you are putting into words what I'm feeling, and also we are convening our team, and you are all such a great dynamic listening audience, because we convene once a week, but people really do stuff and get together, and climate, we've got things before us, we're the antidote to the toxic mimic of what passes for public discourse. So offering useful things, the book DMT and the Soul of Prophecy by Rick Strassman, really rich. You know, it's a thank you gift, right? For a pledge of $80 and Magic Mushroom Explorer, because we're going to need entheogens to get through this campaign coming up. You know, for a pledge of $90 and both of them for a pledge of $155. These are thank you gifts. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it's on your sheet, but we're also for a mere $50, you can join me by phone or Skype or web on Monday, December 21st at 6 p.m. If you do pledge for that, be sure to give your email to the phone room team. All of those by calling 800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org. We have a lot of listeners in Japan and Alaska and Australia and the Midwest and some in England. And hello, kpfa.org for you. Now back to you, Brian.
Well, I have some big news from the pledge room. We have two listeners, James in San Francisco, and yeah, Edith in Salinas, who have just offered to double $500 if we can raise $500 from the people listening right now.
Okay.
They have just thrown some good intentions towards KPFA, and they're asking others out there in the radio world to rise to the occasion and see their efforts with their own. And what that means, folks, is you have a chance to make your pledge go further. So it'll run up as more dollars in support of the Visionary Activist on KPFA. It will help you pick up one of these incredible books if you pledge at the appropriate rate. DMT and the Soul of Prophecy by Rick Strassman for a pledge of $80. Or combine it with the Magic Mushroom Explorer by Simon Powell for a pledge of $155. And best of all, every dollar you pledge is going to keeping KPFA on the air so that we can bring you shows like the Visionary Activist Show. 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY-KPFA, or online at www.kpfa.org. The $500 countdown starts now. Caroline?
Yay! No, that's great. That's really great. You're very fun. I'm so glad to be cahooting with you, Brian. So that's wonderful. We love matches. I love a match. Woof, woof, wanna play. Because we are all aspiring to move our emotional default setting to woof, woof, wanna play. And if somebody doesn't wanna play, fine, we move on. We carry our harumphitude composter, of course, but we move on. So woof, woof, wanna play, a $500 match is so fun. Woof, woof. you know, let's play, let's kahoot in the spirit of this, you know, in the spirit of beauty poker. I see your $500 dedicated to beauty and this show and the and KPFA and raise you one. There we go. You know, because we want to engage in beauty poker and blessing poker. You know, part of it, we'll be hosting Kim Stanley Gardner, great science fiction writer who has a profound, detailed vision of how we can transcend capitalism and move into a detailed part of the world. But he goes, you know, dystopian imagination, you know, we're living dystopian, you know, the compost dystopian. We want to quicken our utopian imagination, fully informed about how dystopian it is, yes. But again, the utopian imagination, vision plus action plus the spirit world and the animals and the plants, humbly cooperating with nature's genius. So yes, absolutely, $500 match. And as a thank you gift for that, we are offering you DMT and the Soul of Prophecy. And I was just, every page I took notes going, ooh, oh, and that's a thought, and there's something I disagree with, and there's something I love. Ooh, ah, er. So it's a rich, you know, heading into winter. What a good companion. So DMT and the Soul of Prophecy for a pledge of $80. The Magic Mushroom Explorer, yes. Psilocybin and the Awakening Earth, yes. Again, the plants want to help us. They're like, we're going to either kill the humans or heal them. Let's try healing them first, you know. So all the plants and the animals are waiting for us to catch up, really. So Magic Mushroom Explorer, Psilocybin and the Awakening Earth for a pledge of 90, or both of those, what a rich winter, for a pledge of $155, those are thank you gifts, all by calling 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org, because I know a lot of you listen online. I know. I once saw this great thing at KPFA. I'd like to see it again. It was a map of the world, and you could see where people were listening by web. Have you seen such a thing, Brian?
Amazing, isn't it?
Well, I've only saw it once. Are you still using it?
There is a secret passage inside of our website that may only be accessible from inside our building.
Yes.
But it shows it's showing us the location of the internet service provider of every person who is listening to the web stream.
Right. It won't show numbers. It'll just show lighting up. But it was so exciting going, hello, look, a little light in Australia. Hello. Hello, Japan. Hello. Anyway, so what a world. Again, all technology, crude literalization of intrinsic human capacity, but radio is so great. And this radio is so great, only, you know, completely pretty much listener-sponsored radio left. But radio is the spirit beings. We are invisible voices in your head, and you are invisible listeners to us. We're relating on this great level. It's very different than TV. And we're heading into a time where we really want KPFA to be flush. That would be great. Beyond survival. You know, flush. Investigative reporting, the great shows that Brian does. You know, we want to assume cultural narrative lead. That sane reverence. Assume cultural narrative lead. I watch all the debates on your behalf.
I watch so you don't have to.
That's right. And I, with my coyote by my side, who's like every now and then going, it's time to go outside and throw up. or let's steal things. But anyway, so only with animals can I watch the Republicans. But it's very clear that it's like they're like Rumpelstiltskin, you know, just stamping their little foot until they're going to plunge into the underworld. So it behooves us, you know, to again this adorable show listenership and also KPFA assuming cultural narrative lead for all sane reverent people. That would be you, all you cute dynamic listeners out there right now.
As long as you do it by calling 1-800-439-5732. And if you have trouble remembering that, it's 1-800-HEY-KPFA if you're someone who still has the letters on your buttons. Or you can pledge through our website, kpfa.org, and you can send a comment with a pledge through the website. If we get it in time, I would love to read your praise, good wishes, or well-deserved criticism on the air. kpfa.org, 1-800-439-5732. There's another caller, and we should remind them what we're offering. So the book by Rick Strassman that he was discussing earlier in the show, DMT and the Soul of Prophecy, DMT, the most powerful psychedelic known to humankind, and he actually got to study it in a clinical setting with the approval of the U.S. government. at his lab at the University of New Mexico. His book is yours for a pledge of $80 or more, and he takes his insights to very, very profound places. The book, The Magic Mushroom Explorer, Psilocybin and the Awakening Earth by Simon Powell, is yours for a pledge of $90 or more at 1-800-439-5732. The two together, we discount the combined pledge rate to $155 or more at 1-800-439-5732. And if you make that pledge right now, it counts towards our $500 challenge. It's like giving more to KPFA than you can actually dig out of your own pocket. Now, we've just got 4 minutes to go over the top, and the phone room says we've just recorded our first $200, 300 left to go. 1-800-439-5732. Caroline?
Okay, and responsibly, we remind you also to show up at the KPFA Winter Craft Fair. I will not be there because I'm on the East Coast on your behalf, drinking poison for you. But that's December 19th and 20th at the Craneway Pavilion. Now back to raising those $300. Woof, woof. Thank you so much, James in San Francisco, and Edith from, I'm not sure.
Arcturus. Salinas.
Anyway, from where?
Salinas.
Salinas, that is so great. All right, so let us honor our teammates again, matching. It's like beauty poker. You know, we see their 500 and raise you. So absolutely exhorting. We see you now, yes. We will try not to be too distractingly fascinating. You are moving to the phone. Anything done now with dedication, we're heading to the Saturnalia. You know, you go by the pledging of this bazillion dollars, this $50, this $100, this $80, this $90. You know, may it be that. You know, put your wish in the thing. And we are offering as a thank you gift, you know, for a pledge of $80, DMT and the Soul of Prophecy, and also the book Magic Mushroom Explorer, Psilocybin and the Awakening Earth by Simon Powell for a pledge of $90. And you can have both of those, A Rich Winter, for a pledge of $155. Let's go, team. We've got not quite 2 minutes. How are we doing, Dr. Brian?
Well, I think we are doing great. The phone room says we're now up to $480, which means the next 20 brings in $500. And folks, this is your chance to show support for Caroline Casey. Who else on KPFA's or anybody else's airwaves is going to make a verb out of the word kahoot? I will not be able to get the word kahooting out of my mind from now on. When you can forge new words, you are a powerful person indeed, because power works through language. We have 2.5 minutes left in the hour. 1-800-439-5732. Caroline?
Excellent. Right. And again, yes, Kahoot. Well, we serve biodiversity. So we want, you know, as our great friend, you know, Rick Gallo, ocean scientist, said, at the bottom of the ocean, even though humans are doing terrible things, there is biogenesis, these vents blowing new life into the world. And that's what we want KPFA to be. Again, radio biogenesis and linguistic biogenesis and metaphor biogenesis, so that we can be active agents for beauty and life. Yes, we're almost going out there. Again, how are we doing, Brian?
We are down to just under 2 minutes left and starting to accumulate some people to thank. Heidi Adler just pledged from Mill Valley, and Darlene Pratt pledged from Berkeley, and Patrick O'Brien made a very generous contribution from Oakland. We're asking you to join them by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY-KPFA, or online at www.kpfa.org. The DMT book from Rick Strassman is yours for a pledge of just $80. Combine it with the Simon Powell book, The Magic Mushroom Explorer. You get both together for a pledge of $155. And the most important thing you get is KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show. 1 minute and 10 seconds left. 1-800-439-5732. Caroline?
That's great. Yes, thank you, Heidi Adler and Darlene and Patrick O'Brien, my kind folk from Ireland. Yes, all Irish people. And also remember, you know, many people say their dogs love listening to this show. So pledge on behalf of your dog. You know, we have a huge incarcerated listenership, who are people who are temporarily in prison. I love them. You know, again, KPFA, that's great. You can't go to a commercial station and go, you know, the people I'm really after, you know, is incarcerated and homeless, because we have a lot of homeless people listening to this show. So pledge for those who can't. Your dog, you know, your friend in prison, they're known or not. Your friend on the street, may we help everybody. But there's a lot of listeners who really can't. If you can go to the phone now, you're pledging for the whole team that we strengthen our teamship. You know, again, that's what KPFA is about. That's what the Visionary Activist Show is about. We are sprinting or gliding or something. We're entheogening into 2016 to line up more teammates again, more things to do, ways, you know, critique and solution. So again, you can have DMT and the Soul of Prophecy for a pledge of $80, or you can have,